This is ensemble member Tom Irwin, and you're listening to the Steppenwolf Theatre Company podcast.
This is Associate Artistic Director David New, and I'm here with ensemble member John Mahoney. How are you, John?
I'm doing fine. Great.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
John is currently appearing as Richard in The Seafarer by Connor McPherson. You know, I was thinking this afternoon, John, like your role in The Dresser, this is a huge undertaking.
Yeah, it is. It's an exhausting undertaking. I think this is probably the toughest role I've done since Long Day's Journey. And I thought that was, I didn't know I was ever going to get that. And then all of a sudden, pieces of it start sticking in your head, and this is the same thing. It's a play where you're just utterly exhausted when you come off stage at the end.
You know, I was thinking too, one of the things that must contribute to that, I mean, in addition to the fact that it is just a large role on paper, the fact that Richard is blind. Mm-hmm. You know, because I think as actors, right, we look for that connection, and it buoys us, and it keeps us going.
Yeah.
That had to have been challenging at the top.
It's challenging still. It's very, very difficult not to look at actors. You get so many cues from facial expressions, from just physical things. It doesn't necessarily have to be a word that's said to you or a sentence or something like that. It just is... I just feel that I'm sort of stuck out in the middle there by myself with no one to rely on, you know, because I can't see anybody. And it's kind of tricky, too, in as much as if I dropped something yesterday on stage and, of course, I couldn't pick it up. I'm not even supposed to be able to see it, so get that. And I spilt my cereal all on myself one night, and I just had to let that go because I couldn't, you know, I couldn't look as if I could see it. Today, I left my cane in the doorway instead of bringing it in with me after I took my anorak off, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh God, where's my cane? Did I leave it outside? And then fortunately I saw it and I was able to grab it, but I was holding on to people trying to figure out how can I keep this facade if I don't even have my stick with me. But it worked out okay, but it is very, very much more difficult than I thought it would be.
And it's a degree of blindness, too, right? Because as we learn in the play, he's only been blind for a couple of months.
Yeah.
So, you know, figuring out what that behavior is, I mean, it's a real engagement of your imagination, right?
Right. It really is. It makes a big difference. Obviously, I'm not as adept as someone who's been blind for a long period of time. So, you know, I'm waving that stick around more like a weapon than I am something to guide me. But I just think that's what he would do. I don't think he's ever had any lessons on how to use his blind stick. And so he just, as long as he doesn't hit anything, he figures he's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because, you know, unlike Sharky, it seems that he's not at all set back by this, having been recently blinded. He's moving forward, you know, living his life, and in a way that Sharky seems to be a bit lost and unable to move forward because of the perceived crises in his life or failures in his life, or problems.
Right.
And Richard, his brother, is different. He's
very different. Yeah, Richard is... Richard doesn't let things stop him. He does every once in a while. He'll get a little down. It's funny. There's a line in there where I say, "I have so little left to live for." Now it's written in the script as said with sudden despair, and yet the audience always laughs at it. And I don't know if they were influenced by critics who said that, you know, that I'm conniving, and they think that this is an example of conniving. So I try it different ways every night, trying to get them to see the real depth of despair in that moment. But I just haven't found it yet. They just insist on laughing at that line as if I'm some really, I just want to wrap Sharky around my finger and get what I want by playing up to his sympathies. But that's really not why I'm doing it.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, sure, he's only been blind for a couple of months. He's a very energetic man, and lots of friends. Doesn't get along too well with his brother, but he's obviously an extremely gregarious person that people like to be friends with. And I don't think that being blind has stopped that. I think he just, okay, I'm blind now, so that's the way it is. At least I'm still alive. Like he tells Sharky at the end, you know, you're this, you're that, the other, but you know what? You're alive, aren't you? And that is the most important thing, I think, to Richard, that he's alive. And okay, so he can't see anymore, but he can still do pretty much everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. He doesn't get along with Sharky very well as we see the play proceed. But as so many of the audiences have talked about in the post-show discussions, the Richard that we perceive in the first part of the play, our perception of him and his relationship with Sharky, and what's truly at the heart of the matter in that relationship between those brothers, it shifts during by the end of the evening.
Yeah.
And I love, there's one moment in the first act when Richard sits Sharky down on the stairs, and he knows that there's something really wrong right now.
Yeah.
And he's sensitive to aware of his brother. Yes. In spite of the fact that he's...
Yeah. Well, he's not bad to his brother, actually, until he starts drinking again. He's bitchy, and he screams, and he yells, and everything else, but I think that's part of his nature, and I don't think he... I still am trying to figure out what exactly happens when Sharky starts drinking again, what my response to that is when I go on my long speech about I believe in him, and I believe that he can change. I'm not sure if he's being sarcastic. I'm not sure if he's being vicious. I'm not sure if he's being... understanding and encouraging. It just it's just very weird, and a lot of that has to do with the way it's written, because after virtually every sentence that I say, there's either one or two exclamation points. And so, you know, it's not... and this is very interesting, too, because I was talking to Gabriel Byrne. I'm doing this series with him in New York, and Gabriel's born and bred Dubliner, and I was mentioning that to him, and he said, you know, we don't show compassion. We don't show... We regard that as weakness. So if we're going to... If we're worried about somebody, or if we're... If we want to help them out, you don't do it softly. You don't do it gently. You do it tough and hard and all this, so that you're not showing any weakness yourself. The compassion is there, but it's very, very guarded. And talking to Gabriel about that, that really helped me, too.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I get very emotional at the end. I have to keep it in, because another very wonderful Irish director, when I was working in Ireland one time, said, Irishmen don't cry. They don't show emotions. They don't show feelings, and all this, that, and the other. But when I say, Sharky, go and get your gift, and then he brings it, and I hear him shaking it, just in my mind is this picture of my little brother getting his gifts out from under the tree and shaking them, and me getting such a big kick out of it. But instead of showing that, of course, I say, oh, open it, you Burke. You know, that's just the way it is, although I feel very, at that moment, I feel so close to him, but just can't show it. I mean, I could, but it's just not done in that society.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that, too, because we realize that at the end of the play, when he gets that gift, that, of course, that gift has been under the tree from the very beginning of the play.
Right.
Even when you're badgering him through that,
yes,
through that first act.
Right.
There's thought. And the gift itself, really, right, the technology of the cell phone, that which connects and also releases in,
yes,
a way.
Yeah, yeah. That's absolutely true. It's God knows how long it's been there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if they just, Ivan and he and Ivan did it the night before or... You know, just been sitting there for a few weeks waiting for Sharky to come home. You know,
yeah.
I think basically there's a great deal of love between the two of them, but they either don't know how to show it or they're just not allowed to show it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and they're revisiting the same squabbles that they've been having going on for years, and
right,
then they find these moments of connecting.
It is very interesting, though, the way he suddenly turns once Sharky starts to drink again. And there's that long story about, the old people walking down the street with their gray dead faces and a change. And tells a perfect stranger about their mother breaking a chair over Sharky's head. I'm not quite sure, to tell you the truth, where that comes from. But I've never been the kind of actor who has to know all that. I like to surprise myself just like I do in real life, you know. There are still times when I'll say, God, what was I thinking of? You know, I don't know everything, and I don't want to know about a character more than that character would know about himself, so I don't go into it that much. So consequently, quite often during the run of the play or even that a particular performance, it'll change. I'll take what I'm doing from what Sharkey's giving me, how Sharkey acting about this, and then respond to that in kind. So sometimes I feel sorry for him. Sometimes I hate him. Sometimes I'm kind of indifferent to him. It just changes every night. It's very complex, just like family relationships are.
And such a testament to McPherson's writing that it completely bears that kind of exploration, and it reveals itself to you and to your fellow actors as you're on stage with them during the run. We're 5 weeks into, getting on to the second half of
right.
Now that we've extended for another 5 weeks. And I'm sure that, you know, as you go on to do the production at the Geffen Playhouse, also uh-huh. directed by Randy Arney, the play is so beautifully written, so layered,
yeah.
that it continues to live and reveal itself. And
absolutely, yeah. It's funny, too, you know, it's people, intellectuals, you know, I sometimes can really understand why Salinger just refused to publish anything anymore, you know, and he said that he was so sick of people analyzing his work about how many angels could dance on the head of a pin, you know. And I had somebody talk to me about this play and talking about the metaphor of hell and how that we were all in it and how everything that is spoken about by the devil or by Mr. Lockhart, we see in that apartment. His description of hell, the bottom of this freezing cold, 1,000-mile-deep ocean. And here we are, we're underground. If I say it once, I say it 4 or 5 times about, Jesus, it's so cold in here. It's freezing in here. I'm constantly saying it's freezing. I'm blind. Ivan is virtually blind without his glasses. And sometimes it does sound a little bit like what's going on in that apartment is exactly the hell that Mr. Lockhart describes. But then you can't get too far, you know, you can't think too much about that because you really can't act metaphors or things like that. You just have to act, you know, what you've got. And there's plenty there in that play to act without having to, you know, load yourself down with intellectual ism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you look like you're having a ball. I hope you are. The audience certainly is.
It's very tiring. But no, I'm having a great time. I mean, it's just, somebody said, how are you going to do it here and then Los Angeles? Don't you get tired of it? And I don't think I will, you know? The things that are well written like that and have so many things for you to constantly discover, you don't get tired of, you know? Yeah. And then I'm blessed to be working with this incredible cast. Everything changes a little bit every night for them. And if I'm able to pick up on those changes and respond to what I'm hearing, not just what's written on the page and how it's being said, then it's different every night for me and it always keeps it fresh.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for taking a little time in between shows to chat. And if you want to get more information about the production of The Seafarer at Steppenwolf, you can visit www.steppenwolf.org. AT&T is the sponsor of online content at steppenwolf.org.